Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart,
ejercicios, cocinamos,
todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.
Happy holidays, everyone. It's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to announce that Inside the 18 and the Union GK community will be at the United Soccer Coaches Convention this January in Anaheim, California. So come on out, meet us and some of the Union Pro mentors while experiencing a live demo of the interactive Union app. Prices will rise after December 13th, so use promo code GKPOD24 for a special rate just for Goalkeeper Podcast listeners. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Majid, live from Hollywood, California. With me in the lovely valley, it's 65 degrees. It's nice and sunny and cool. The one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. And joining us from an even more temperate climate than Woodland Hills, California, Louis Hunt of San Diego Wave. Louis, San Diego, the weather, honestly, probably some of the best in the world, I'd have to say.
I will say it did rain yesterday. So
wait, what?
Yeah, believe it or not, but it's been unbelievable. Yeah, especially the last month or so. Little cooler in the mornings, and then sun's fully out, blue skies by 9 a.m. Can't complain.
So when's your first favorite time to do the training? Is it when it's nice and cool out, or do you like it sunny and kind of a little bit warmer and dry?
Yeah, right now is actually really nice because we're still doing some like small group stuff, and we start at about 9:30. And that's beautiful. It's a little cooler while we're setting up. And then by the time we start, the heat kicks in. But it's beautiful. So, yeah, really nice at the moment.
Susk, what do you like? Do you like to train in the warmth, or do you like to train when it's cool and damp kind of in the morning?
She likes flying around in the rain. She's a
Yeah, I mean, cool and damp in the morning's fun. It's fine with me. I mean, either way, just bring it on.
Okay. I say the weather's win. The worst possible thing for us is when it gets really warm in the summer and the pitch dries out and we don't have chances. Sometimes we don't to like rewater it and get the sprinklers out. That's a nightmare for the keepers, especially if it's a 1v1 day.
I don't know how you guys can sprinkle. I mean, like literally your training facility has more grass than I think I've ever seen in my life. Like you have literally the largest fields. Like it's amazing that you found that much space in Southern California. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, it's like you guys have the pick of the litter from field space.
Yeah, we're lucky that we obviously share that complex with Surf. Surf run that whole complex, and it's beautiful. Anyone that's been to any of the Surf Cups, and we've got a couple of fields in our own area to it. We've got an unbelievable groundsman that has been able to hook and set things up, especially for the goalkeepers, where I can just hose down the penalty areas for the most part. So. When it does dry out, we're still able to maximize what a game would be like.
I feel like this has become a landscaping podcast. Like this is just a podcast. and guys, we're good for the next hour. Actually, our topic is going to be proper field maintenance. We're going to be discussing the different mulches that you want to use to keep your fields nice and calm. Actually, today's topic, guys, is going to be activation exercises because a lot of the stuff that Louis's been posting kind of on social media the last year or so has been some really, really cool activation exercises. But kind of before we get into that topic, Louis, first off, why don't you kind of catch up everybody? You know, obviously, since you've last been on the show, another fantastic season for San Diego Wave. You know, winning the Shield is not a small feat by any stretch of the imagination. I know you fell a little short in regards to the title through the playoff championship, but why don't you kind of catch everybody up?
Yeah, I think you just done it for me, to be honest. obviously, another great season for the club, being able to break into that group that's won the Shield. It's only a small group of teams that have been able to do that. So for us to join them only in the second year and win something for the first time. It meant a lot. I think you could see that with the players and the staff after the game. It meant a lot to be able to have a trophy, if you can call that shield a trophy.
I love all those comments, by the way. But, like the pie platter, everything.
Yeah, I think yeah. Kids
that were there, I think it'll probably look better. It would have probably looked better next year after all the kickback from that.
Well, yeah, we got that, and then all of a sudden Tiffany's come out with the championship.
Play. I know.
It's up a little earlier. But, yeah, no, like obviously really good. It's very different to the first year in a lot of ways. Like our path, it was two really different years. The World Cup being in the middle was something that nobody had experienced before. So navigating through that, the amount of games that we played without the internationals and then them integrating back in and how people came back either in a good place or a not so good place based on how they felt they'd done internationally. But yeah, the league's crazy. You just got to kind of be in and around it going into the last quarter of the season, and then any place is up for grabs, really.
You know, Saskia, obviously this was your first year, you know, kind of covering the league, you know, in their NWSL from a professional standpoint with Paramount and CBS and everything like that. Like, kind of what were your thoughts about? And I know, you know, with your relationship with Angel City, you have to be careful what you say.
No, I don't have to be careful about anything.
But
I totally agree. I mean, look, coming into that last part of the year was anybody's. It was up for anybody. The points were so close, which is, it's awesome. You know, it's awesome going into competitions where every single game counts, every single point counts. And it made it so competitive. I think it was interesting to see how people were when they got back from the World Cup, whether it was like it took an emotional toll, whether it was a physical toll. And then as well, like the people that didn't go to the World Cup that actually really stepped up and shined and earned themselves some serious minutes coming into that last push.
Yeah. And by the way, Louis, feel free to step in anytime. You don't need to wait for me to ask you a question or anything like that. But like, I think, you know, one of the really fun things about this season, obviously, was their personal investment, Susk, that, you know, you had with San Diego. Obviously, you know, we're friends with Kaylin, and you know, I know that Shay, you know, went through TKI as well, too. And then obviously Lauren at UCLA. Why don't you kind of describe that goalkeeping environment this year?
Yeah, I mean, if I start with Lauren from UCLA, obviously close ties with Saskia, I can't speak highly enough of Lauren and how she did. She came into the environment. Obviously, it's always tough when you've been a number one and been super successful in that college environment, and understanding how big that jump is to the pro level. And all the different things that go with, whether it's like how you're activating, I'm sure we'll get onto, but how you're activating pre-training, how you're getting your preventative stuff done, your rehab stuff done. We went through a real journey with Lauren where we were talking about how, like, she's brilliant because she wants to go, go, go. That's one of the biggest compliments I could say about her. But we had to educate her around the piece of, we can't go, go, go every single day, because you're going from being a collegiate player to a pro player. Your body's going to break down at some point if you're not really, really good about managing it. And that was an education piece for her throughout the whole season, that by the end of it now, she's in such a good place. The technicality of her game has continued to improve. She's obviously got such great hand-eye coordination and a good technical foundation anyway. And then she's added to her game by being able to train with Kaylin, with Carly at the very start while Carly was still here in preseason, and then with Shay. And I think her and Shay had a really good relationship while Kay was away at the World Cup. And Shay's come in again from being a starter in a different country, in a different league, stepping up into the NWSL. She played both roles, right, as a starter and as a number two. She did that really, really well. And yeah, Kaylin, I think everybody knows how special she is on and off the field. Another solid season from her while going through everything with the World Cup, and how she integrated the other two and was able to make them better, but also allow those two to make her better as well. Because I think as a number one, that's a special skill set. You've got to Kaylin's very generous about how she also allows the two and the three to still feel fully part of it and fully involved, and gives them the opportunity to develop and learn as well.
You know, adding on to that, you know, and Suski, obviously, you know, we all have a relationship with Kay, but one of the things that always struck me about her is the reason that she's world-class, not just on the field, but is off the field as well, too, in regards to just every communication ever had with her. It's all about continuing to learn, continuing to help others, you know, whether it's in goalkeeping or in other ways, and really continue to improve the goalkeeping community as a whole worldwide.
Yeah, I think the thing, if you talk about Lauren coming in, I think, you know, sitting behind Tegan for 2 years at UCLA actually helped her in a sense, like, you know, because she knew what it was to be in that position, to not be a starter, to have to fight for it, but to show up every day and learn and realize, you know, what you need to work on. And I think, like, it's a great crew you have there keeper wise, because yeah, with Kaylin, with those mentalities, they are open to help each other and to grow off of each other. And you don't always get that with goalkeeping crews. And you know, when you do, it really just elevates everybody's game.
Yeah, I totally agree. There wasn't one day in training where there was any kind of elephant in the room or awkwardness between the other goalkeepers, or I would like to think that the two or the three on any given day like felt that they weren't getting what they needed, because I think, again, between the three of them, they do such a good job at helping each other out. Yeah. And the environment that we create as well. But yeah, Mike, to your point with Kaylin, I think she kind of sums up where the women's game is going and what you want. Like, now we're getting bigger crowds in the women's game. There's more investment. And I think she's very aware of that. And so she wants to give back. She's the last player off the pitch in the home games, going around signing autographs for fans and pictures and giving her gloves away and that. She's got a real special connection with the fan base here, whether they're youth goalkeepers. I remember last season, actually, there was a tournament going on at the field. So when we came out of our fields and walked onto the surf fields, two little boys came up to her with her dad. So it crosses across the boys' game as well as the girls' game, which is awesome. And that's what you want. We want more people, more fans to be invested. And that's a little bit of the player's responsibility off the field to do that. And she's amazing with it.
You know, and I think, you know, one of the things that just, you know, and I don't want to make this just like the, you know, the Kaylin Sheridan, you know, fan club, you know, podcast or anything like that. But the way she carries herself, you would never know that she was one of the best goalkeepers in the world because of just how part of the community she is. She's not secluding herself like she's better than anybody else. And honestly, I mean, it's just really special. And I think, honestly, Louis, I think a lot of what you've got going on right there, I don't want to give, you know, I know as goalkeeper coaches, we don't want to take all the credit or anything like that, but you've clearly been part of creating an environment that has brought in the type of people that you want, not just on the field, but off the field into your environment.
Well, I would say that a big credit of that goes to the hierarchy at the club. And I've said that for 2 years now, that one of the best things about the whole environment is the squad that Casey, Molly, the GM, and Jill managed to put together from year one through to now was a group of very, very good people. So culturally, the environment's excellent. It's that, you know, there isn't the egos that are overly difficult to manage, and everybody is very, very much all driven in one direction. And yeah, like you say, Kaylin's very, very much like that. She's got the ego about her, where she's got the swag and the competitiveness, which you have to have, but she's very aware of how she comes across to everybody else and what she needs to do to grow the game. And that's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, before we kind of go into the topic, you know, right now, and I think it's honestly perfect when we're talking about, you know, environments and, you know, creating, you know, camaraderie and everything, when we talk about activation exercises, Saskia, you know, obviously, you know, you've been in a bunch of different environments and you've seen a bunch of different environments, and, you know, can you reflect back to any, you know, and you don't have to name any specifically or whatever, where you're just like, wow, this is a special group. And because of this, not only are we succeeding, you know, from a goalkeeping standpoint, but we're also succeeding as from a team standpoint because of the community that we have as a team.
99.
I thought you were going to say that, but like, I didn't want to throw it
out. But I mean, it was just a special, and it always will be, you know, a family, a team, the goalkeeper crew, the way me and Brian and I trained together, pushed each other and cheered each other on. Every day was competitive, but you know, they're all my sisters to this day. Talked to everybody yesterday, talked to everybody at least once a week. So, you know, and that's 22 years later. So like, you know, it's that hands down.
I mean, that,
that's... and the environment that Tony DiCicco created, you know, was just incredible.
Well, speaking of environments, let's get into this topic here, because this is a really fun topic. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of young coaches out there to get some ideas on some different things that they can do. First off, before we start looking at some of these pictures, Louis, what do we mean by activation exercises?
I think it can mean a couple of different things. The way we run things down at Wave is the players will physically get activated in the gym with the sports performance guys, with the sports performance coaches, before they step onto the grass. So whether that's through their personalized gym programs or it's just a generic activation day where they're doing those movements to loosen up, which is great for me, because by the time they step out on the grass, we can get the balls rolling straight away.
Nice.
And we can do things like what you're going to see in some of these clips here. I'll always give them space and some room and time to then continue to do their own thing. And some of the activities will be designed in a way where it's physically getting them more warmed up rather than just smashing balls in the top corner from the first service. But then you've got this, which is what I would describe as like the on-field activation, where it can be a physical activation, it can be a hand-eye activation, brain activation is a lot of them, as well as just your whole holistic movements.
You know, by the way, my favorite thing about this, Susk, is that I freeze framed it when Louis looks like he's about to make a diving play to keep the ball.
That's about right levels there. Of my dives. I'm not getting off the ground.
Oh my gosh. I love this too. But you know, Susk, we always talk about this, especially with in the youth game, you know, how many young goalkeepers, you know, are put into an environment where they're all just thrown into match actions, and there's no sort of preparation of the body for these match actions before they get into it. And people wonder why they don't look sharp or they get injured or anything like that.
Well, you know, one of the frustrating things is that there's no, like, if you take a game, like when you see youth games and stuff, and look, we get it. Not, you know, in the youth environment, not every team can have a goalkeeper coach, you know, and, you know, trainers to help them get activated before, but it's that lack, in my opinion, that frustrates me of the head coach setting something up for the goalkeepers to get themselves properly activated before stepping into pregame warm-up and everything like that. Like, how many times have you gone out to a club game and you see the goalkeepers, like, you know, standing on the side and I don't even know if you want to say hitting volleys to each other, which aren't that clean, and no movement. And then it's like, okay, let's jump in and do like shooting or like whatever their pregame is. And, you know, it still happens and it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, field player coaches out there, you have to, if you don't have a goalkeeper coach, you have to take your goalkeeper's side, set something up that's progressive, that helps them get activated. So then when you need them, they're ready to go. You can't just go from cold to hot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great point. So Louis, first off, let's see what you got going on right here, because this looks like fun. And I think one of the really cool things that we're going to talk about, you know, during today's show is that these activation exercises don't have to be boring. They don't have to be robotic. They can be fun and competitive. So what is this here that we're going to see here?
Yeah, just a little bit of standard of the goalkeeping style soccer tennis. The variation is that we've got the little balls out. I think you've seen these probably across a lot of platforms. And the mini ball's obviously there, so you get a little bit of different hand-eye coordination. Activating the brain, it moves differently than a normal size 5.
Yeah, wait,
hold on.
Yeah.
I gotta stop you right there. Hold on, look at that.
Okay, LB, watch this one. LB, watch.
Oh gosh. When
the problem with all of that is I still lose the point because of the move. So
yeah, like
we got it. Oh, look at that.
And then watch LB with the watch her save this.
Yeah, she killed me.
You so know, I you think
we, went from a 2v2 game to then like round the clock. And have you ever played round the clock with table tennis where you're hitting the ball and then you're running around? Like, I don't know, we used to do it as kids. So from the original 2v2 here, then I think as the clip goes on, the one where they kill me, yeah, so I get the point off Lauren there and she gets it. So you just you got one or two touch to pop it over. You can kill someone on the touch. You can't. But
the key thing with this is like it's not realizing what you're like, it's fun and everything, but those little micro movements, those side shuffles, those quick reactions and everything are just so they're activating your every part of your body. And at the same time, you're just like competitive, you're having a good time. And like you said, Mike, it doesn't have to be like stagnant and boring every day at practice. Like this speaks well. And how many times in a game do random little flicks and stuff like that happen anyway? You know, yeah. So
I think that's the key part to it as well, Saskia, as well as like you say, the little micro movements that it's sometimes they're the really difficult things to coach or train because you just want players to naturally be able to do them. But it's all these movements possibly could happen in a game that
absolutely
train in an organized goalkeeper activity training session. So you got to try and bring them out in other ways where it becomes a bit more unpredictable.
100%, because like you can't like set it up in a normal training session, but this does it. And all of a sudden in a game, you're going to see Sheridan like shuffle to the side and get that paw down and flick it wide. And you're like, wow, you know, and you're like, these are the ways you train that.
Absolutely. And my favorite thing is that, you know, how many times in the game have you seen a goalkeeper with their head facing the floor, covering themselves, trying to not get smashed by the ball? I mean, that's some U8 stuff right there. I'm not gonna lie. I've seen that
love it.
Move quite a bit.
I love it.
But in all seriousness, Louis, you know, one of the things that I love about this is that this is a way that you can gamify activations, especially for foundational goalkeepers, where, like Saskia was saying, they don't even realize that they're learning or that they're incorporating things that they're going to be doing in the game. They're just trying to have fun. And I think, to be honest with you, I think it teaches young goalkeepers to be improvisational within matches, as opposed to like, oh, I got to move my feet this way and catch the ball this way. Because it's not always going to be like that.
Mike. No, keep the ball out of the net. And do it however you can. And this, you know, set, like, figure it out. You know, if it gets flicked, if it gets redirected, it doesn't have to be like some perfect goalkeeper movement from a textbook. It's got to be keep the ball out of the net or lay on the ground and roll and hide in the net, like whatever it is.
So Louis, before we kind of move on to this next clip right here, I just kind of want to ask you, because like, obviously, you know, this is fun. Obviously, it's engaging. Why do you think so many young coaches out there are afraid to do something like this? Is it because they're worried about the chaos, as Jill Lloyden likes to talk about a lot of the times, and they want it structured?
Yeah, I think sometimes if I go back to in a youth game, sometimes you're getting the parents on the sidelines watching training or looking over the fence, and they've got an idea about what they think training should look like. And whether this is goalkeeper training or team training, in an ideal world, you want it to be chaotic and a lot of failure. Then the kids walk off and the parents are looking at it going, well, that didn't look like we've just won in a practice session, in a training session.
Right. And
that's really it is what you want to create. I think sometimes with the youth stuff as well, it's people feel like maybe they're a bit restricted around equipment because you don't have everything that maybe we have at the pro game or at the college game. But you can be creative with it. I remember doing a talk a couple of years ago about in the youth game, you can still film. Everyone's got a phone these days that's got a camera on it. And even if you just prop it up against a bag, you can still film a training session from that capacity with a U14 kid on the side of the pitch. So, the stuff that you're going to see in these videos, for the most part, yes, there is some bits where there's like specific equipment, but a lot of the time you can do it with just cones and a ball.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the thing is that go ahead.
You know how I feel about that. Like, I feel that it's, you know, and maybe it's just where I came from before, like, you know, not having all the bells and whistles and the equipment and I'm happy about that in a sense. It is figuring out how to get the most out of training with minimal, you know, apparatus. You don't need, you know, what do parents want? Do they want to see their, and this is what they do want. They want to see their kid jumping over this, diving under that, going through a hoop and everything. But what are they getting out of that other than, you know, going through an obstacle course? And I say that all the time, like, is that effective? Like, you can be more effective with a couple cones than you can if you know what you're doing.
Well, right here, it looks like Louie's going to teach Kaylin how to juggle. It looks like they're getting ready for some sort of a Renaissance fair where they're going to be performing an act. The stage is right here. So what is this, Louie, first up, before we see this?
Actually, Carly was doing this at Chelsea with Stu, a goalkeeper coach out there. And so we just stole the idea. They're little noodles that you got a blue, a red, and a green side. And as I'm throwing it, I'm calling the color. And she's got to try and catch that color.
Nice.
While she's also pulsing and activating. So just to get physical warm up to a degree, but also hand-eye coordination, activating the brain. We'll try and do a lot of this stuff on the re-entry day, the back-to-basics day, just to try and get their brains a little bit out of the fog before we start smashing balls at them.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I really love about this is the cognitive aspect of it, too. I mean, because it looks easy for everybody who's watching this out there. And if you're listening to the audio, you definitely need to watch the pictures of this to kind of really grasp what's going on here. But it's really complicated in the moment. And I think personally,
but to be able to think that quick, I mean, how do you teach that? Right. It's difficult to figure out how to teach something. This is a perfect tool to do it. Like, you have less than a split second to think, like, on certain things as a goalkeeper. And this is so tight and so close. And to say, okay, red, and then with, you know, have to train your brain, your eyes and everything to say, okay, not black, not green, but catch the red. Where's the red? These are ways to train that.
And I think you can make this really, really goalkeeper specific around your eyes, watching the color right onto your hand, which how many times are you talking about watching the ball right onto your fist, especially when you're making saves that go beyond you, and goalkeepers don't. The ball goes beyond them and they just make a dive rather than watching that ball and moving the head all the way over. So little tiny little things you can almost con the goalkeeper into learning by coaching them without even really talking about it.
See, I love what you just said right there in regards to, like, without even coaching them about it, because I think one of the problems, Louie, with young goalkeepers is, and especially with young coaches with young goalkeepers, is that they try to over-explain something as opposed to just letting them figure it out in the moment and letting them fail. And, like, you know, like you were talking about with the failure thing. So
Yeah. No, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Suska, I want to ask you, you know, in regards to this right here, because this is obviously, you know, something that's really difficult to do in the moment, you know, until you kind of get the hang of it. Do you think something like this is too complicated to do with, like, nines, tens, or do you think you can start at that age?
You can start at that age. Not at all.
Okay.
You know, not at all. And it might be a steeper learning curve and stuff like that, but not at all. And again, it's, when you get stuff like, when you actually understand how to follow the ball, how to look at the ball, this is my opinion, and it goes a lot slower than it looks to everybody else seeing the shot. You know, when you lock onto a ball, you follow it properly, you see it, you make saves that if you couldn't do that, you wouldn't make. And so I don't think this is too advanced to start using with younger players.
No. Louie, obviously, you know, you worked, you know, as a director at Surf, which is a massive club and one of the best in the country out here in the United States for a long, long time. Did you have all these types of activation exercises with the foundational players too? Or was this something that just kind of came about when you got into the higher levels?
Yeah, one of the big things I was trying to push a lot while I was at Surf was, especially with our Zone 1, with our younger kids, was to try. I don't think we never actually really properly did it, but I wanted to almost have once every week or once every 2 weeks a goalkeeper style day for all of the young ones. Because the reality is at U8, U9, they're all probably playing what, a quarter of the game in goal or half. Right. They're playing half a game in goal. And things like this I wanted to have and do and incorporate, where it was all just hand-eye coordination, learning how to move, learning how to fall. Because what happens is at that young age, those kids love those types of sessions. The ball can still be at the feet at times, but you're learning like all those different motor skills. And you, again, you're kind of convincing or conning younger kids to like the goalkeeper position, rather than the traditional way of is you're going in goal. I'm telling you, you're going in goal. And the kids, like, I don't really want to stand there and have the ball smashed at me. I want to go and be the one that's up front scoring. Whereas if you can get them to really love all the different nuances of the position, I think you widen the goalkeeper pool a little bit. And we would do some of these things. So we never got to the point where I was able to really implement that across the teams. But when we had our zone one goalkeepers, we did have all of them in together, me and one of the other coaches. And we was able to have fun little games like this, especially the soccer tennis stuff. And you might have to simplify it and make it a little bit different to what we would do with the pros. But a lot of the stuff you're able to just make it age specific and it still works.
Suska, I love what he just said about, you know, having to just make wrinkles. And I think a really important thing that I want to...
I think it's so true, because the reason you have drop off and turnover with goalkeepers is specifically because of that, because they get out to club practice and stuff. And who wants to stand in goal when you don't have the tools to actually be a solid goalkeeper and work effectively and just have kids smash the ball into the back of the net? And it's not fun, you know? And so you have to incorporate that learning curve and that training aspect where they love those days. They love the soccer tennis days. They love, you know, the activation days. And so now when they get into goal, they don't realize that they've been given the tools to succeed better. And now you get less turnover and drop off.
Yeah. And before we kind of move on to this next picture, Louis, you know, just to kind of add on.
By the way, I like to do that. Just put me in the goal and just, just ping it at me. Go ahead.
But before we kind of go to that, Louis, I want to kind of bring up what Saskia was saying in regards to also like engagement too. Like, you know, with these younger goalkeepers, like you're referring to of the drop off and everything like that, is that, because a lot of the times at foundational sessions that I see, you know, and I'm talking about team sessions, there's just a lack of engagement with the young goalkeepers. And so there's not really a lot of for them to be doing from an active standpoint. So they go, I don't really want to just be someone who just stands here, waits for 15 minutes for a ball to roll at me.
Yeah, it can be the position, I think, across the years, when a head coach or assistant coaches don't have help and you don't have enough goalkeeper coaches in the environment, it becomes a secondary priority and it's just go over there and kind of do your own thing. I don't know how many head coaches at the youth level, if they're designing team activities that might not incorporate the goalkeeper, and we all know they can incorporate the goalkeepers, but if they decide not to, are they setting up something that's fun for the keepers on the sides to keep warm? We're probably not. And that's probably a little bit of the club's responsibilities to get more goalkeeper help. I think on Sergio's episode with you guys, he was talking about that, how many more goalkeeper coaches you can get from the federation standpoint, let alone grassroots.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think, you know, that's a whole other conversation. Is like a, you know, I think Bill Reno was the one that brought up this question on the Sergio episode, and it opened up a whole Pandora's box. But, you know, but again, I kind of want to say, you know, one of the things too is just that, like, we want our young goalkeepers to be actively involved in the session. And I think Saskia, you've been in the youth environment, obviously. Louis, you've been in the youth environment tremendously, but Saskia, speaking to you specifically, it may be some clubs that didn't have the resources. The coaches were using the goalkeepers as an accessory for their team session, as opposed to part of their team session.
No, yeah. I mean, for field player coach, even if, you know, you don't have the help and stuff, stick them in. you can stick them in a lot of your training aspects, even with using their feet. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no reason they shouldn't be doing certain drills and stuff like that. If you don't have the help, don't send an 8 or 10 year old and over into the corner and say, okay, go warm yourself up. We'll call you over when you're ready. And you don't have anybody, you don't have anything structured, you know, because the kid's not disciplined probably enough to set up a bunch of cones and get a session in or anything. And nor should they be. And so, you know, if you don't have that help, figure out how to structure your session so you help activate the goalkeeper within that session, and then maybe get some sort of handling in and everything, and then bring them into your incorporate them into the main session as well. But it's time and time again, it's go play catch in the corner.
So let's move on to this picture right here, because, you know, speaking of getting bored and stagnant and everything like that, Louis, I noticed that a lot of these exercises, they can be slight variations so that it just doesn't become the same game over and over again. So what's the variation here from what we're seeing?
Yeah, this is just it's basically spike ball. We just didn't have the spike ball. it broke it a few weeks prior, but this is a good example of like not having the equipment and just being able to do it. And at the club level, youth level, that's like probably the case. You can make your square as big or as small as you want with cones, yeah, or areas, and the ground that grassroots play on is probably a lot harder than this, so the ball will bounce more, which would make it easier.
Good point.
I love the fact that you're like, we broke it earlier. San Diego Wave get like 32,000 people at a game. They can't afford to get you another.
But it's not in the goalkeeping
budget. The equipment manager's sick of me going in asking for more things. Is that
you just don't want to deal with the conversation. You're like, I'd rather just put some tape down on the ground and we'll move on from there. Okay, so let's move on from this picture right here. Oh. Okay, so now we got some heading going on here. Okay, so what is this right here?
I think we just finished playing two touch, and it was me and Shay left. So winner is whoever can stay in without messing up the header. That's why the other two are standing there pissed, because they just got knocked out.
Look at the hands on the hip. We got the hands on the hip still. You can see the body language going on right there. You're like,
but that's a good attitude. So you got
that. But again, the idea is you add something like this in. So we were playing two touch with, I can't remember if it was just feet or hands and feet. But then you add that in at the end, because how much are you heading the ball as a goalkeeper? Not often, but there's that moment where you're going to have to come out and do it. And it might happen once a season. So incorporating it here and there in a training session, there's nothing wrong.
Oh, I can't tell you how many young goalkeepers have made a meal out of that situation at the top of the 18, coming out and trying to head the ball is a very frightening thing. And by young goalkeepers, I mean me in men's league. That's who I'm talking about right here. We definitely don't train it up, but it is. But you know, you just brought up a good point, Louis. And actually, Jake Davis, who we're gonna have on the show next week over in Calgary in Canada. You know, he had an exercise similar to this with Houston Dynamo. And I think one of the great things about it is teaching young goalkeepers. And I know obviously these are pros, so it's a different scenario to be able to problem solve. Okay, you're outside of the box now. What do you do now? How do you handle this situation? And we need to take a lot of young goalkeepers and get them out of their comfort zone. What I mean by their comfort zone is, I mean, you know, defending the goal, you know, from the six, you know, from the goal line to the 6 yard, you know, box, basically. There's so many young goalkeepers that when you get into higher areas, they just freak out.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Mike. It's problem solve, right? So if a ball's coming floating in and you get caught, let's say no man's land or in the wrong position, what's your choice? You're like, if you can assess the ball and you realize that this is going to take a hop, if I come and head it, right? If I come and head it, we're safe. If I wait, okay, we're probably screwed because I'm already caught out of position. And if I come and try to do something else, which we've seen time and time again, then I'm getting a red card or it's a debacle and it's in the back of the net. And so to know that you have this tool, how it might not ever happen in your career, But to know that you have this tool in your toolbox and you can assess the situation and say, you know what, this is going to bounce. I'm just going to come and head it.
Yeah. By the way, for everybody
just gives you more confidence.
I was going to say, for everybody who's watching the show right now live, not edited, Louis actually did not leave. He wasn't upset with what Saskia said and left the show.
He's like, Saskia, shut up.
Great preparation style. My battery's about to die and I have to run.
No. Yeah. That would have been amazing if it was just like, he's like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
All right, we'll move on from the heading.
All right. Let's move on from the heading. Although I do want to say quality micro movements by Louis in the heading department. You can see that he's played on the field too, based on the movements.
I wasn't getting down to that, so I just caught it.
Oh my God. Well, we can talk technique on that basket catch right there. Okay. All right. So now it looks like we're doing a little bit of juggling here.
Yeah. To be honest, like Shay, when Shay came in, she would say like, oh, we did two touch before every training session over at London City. And it's something that she just wanted to do for a little bit of fun and a little bit of social engagement. And, you know, just especially we're lucky that we're able to get out on the field quite early before the rest of the team with the way our mornings are structured. And so when everybody's out and we have that opportunity, it's something to do for a bit of fun. I think we've had times, I think there's another clip on here where we've got Poe involved because she was out early. There was another one where Abby was out there and we even got the gloves on Abby. More fun than anything else. But again, there are elements to it, going back to Saskia's earlier point around little micro movements and things that you're training without even realizing it, that's still happening in the game to some perspective.
Absolutely, because you're working on your touch and your finesse of your touch. And and how often do goalkeepers, which should be often, get like work on it in this environment? And it's fun, but now you have a soft touch on the ball and you're controlling a ball and it's two touch and everything. And you never know what might happen in a game.
Oh my God, the amount of shocking passbacks you can get sometimes, and you got to find a way to improvise and deal with it, and either put it down in a quality position where you can make a play, or how to clear the ball cleanly. But Susk, one thing I love about what Louis just said right there is that, you know, this is something that Shay did with her club team prior, you know, and that she enjoyed that. I love the fact that Louis just brought up empowering the players to be involved in the process as opposed to just telling them what activation exercises we're going to be doing.
No, absolutely. And that just means that it's a great environment, that she feels confident enough that she can come in and say, hey, I really love doing this. Can we incorporate it when we can and stuff? You know, they should be a part of the process and they should feel comfortable and open enough to discuss, even if it comes down to their deficiencies and to, you know, and what they need to work on, or they feel like they're not getting enough training on, and it's something that's weighing on them.
I mean, that's a conversation, you know, Louis, that we have all the time on the show in regards to the youth environment and just how many young goalkeepers are just not comfortable communicating with their coaches on session design or on what they're looking for out of their training. You know, how can young coaches out there help young goalkeepers, you know, be comfortable communicating with them and asking them the right questions so that they're part of the process?
Yeah. If you go into the mindset and the approach of collaboration, then I think that opens up a lot of doors. It is harder in the youth game because you're dealing with players that they don't know what they don't know. So if they haven't been exposed to certain things before, then your role as a youth coach is a little bit to develop their soccer IQ. But trying to create environments where it forces them to think outside the box or have that freedom where they feel they can ask questions and they can go up to the coach and say, hey, can we do this week? Or I really liked it when we did that. Or how can we tweak it? I think if you can create environments where you really encourage that, then I've found in coaching, it's where you end up being the best coach, is when players give you a little bit of advice or feedback and collaboration.
Absolutely.
You know, and Louis, I completely agree with what you're saying in regards to, like, you don't know what you don't know. And then obviously, you know, when you're talking about an 8 or 9 year old who's just learning the position, you know, that is a very difficult, hey, what do you want to work on today? Oh, I've never done this before type of a thing. But, you know, when we're start talking about like college recruiting age and Suski, you know, we've had these conversations, obviously, you know, you were involved in the college game. For a goalkeeper to know themselves and what it is that they need to work on in order to get to that next level is so important.
Absolutely. And to feel that they have the comfort to be able to go to the coach and talk to them about it and actually get feedback from the coach, you know, but there's a fine line. You don't want the kid coming out and be like, can we just do a power diving today? Like, you know, like, well, there's gotta be a reason for things and you have to have a conversation about it. You know, if you know, LB will be the first to tell you that, like, she put so much time and effort into her distribution game even before I got to UCLA, off because it really she struggled with it. And so, you know, the amount of effort that she put into, you know, get as solid as she is, driving the ball, serving the ball. She still, you know, shanks the ball, or she was, you know, her senior year. But the work she puts in, but to have those conversations and what do I do and how do I do and set up an environment that they can feel comfortable to do that in is, it's key. And I agree with you. That's when you become the best coach, honestly.
But Louis, that's a learning experience right there. That's a learning moment right there. Like if a young goalkeeper comes up to you and goes, I want to work on power diving. Now you got to share with them the context on why, based on where we are versus match day in our periodization, like, yep, this is not the right time to do this, you know? So that's a learning moment in itself, right?
Yeah. And there's a, maybe it's a little easier at the youth level where you can dictate things a bit more, but I'd say college and pro, that's where you got sometimes have to meet the goalkeeper halfway. Like, I really want to do this. I really want to work on that. And it's like, this might not be the right time in the week to do that. I've had that probably across the whole 2 years, is how, yeah, you find that common ground. And again, that's the collaboration piece. And going back to the original point as well, Mike, with the youth game, is you've got to be okay with a bit of trial and error as well. Like, and okay with the kids not knowing and going through that awkward bit about, right, come on, who's going to come up with an idea for training next week? And then you get to training and they're all like, well, no one's thought of anything. And what was do you know what I mean? And then, you know, ask a kid, you know, what do you want to work on? How would you change that session? They come up with something, you try it next time, it doesn't work, you know, as a coach, yeah, didn't work. Or it might blow your mind. It's like, wow, I never even thought of that, but someone else has come up with it and now I can tweak it. So those trial and error moments, the youth game allows you to do that because you get to train so much over the course of the year.
No, I mean, that's a great point, as opposed to the college game where it's like you have 70 games in a week. It's pretty tough. Pretty tough to do anything, but that's a whole other podcast. That's a whole other podcast on the development of a goalkeeper in the college game. All right, so let's move on to this right here, because people are like, "Hey, this looks a lot more like football." What we're seeing right over here. So these are some one-on-one activation activities, and Louis, and I think, you know, one of the things that I'm sure is important for young goalkeeper coaches out there to hear is that exercises have to be based on kind of where you're going to be going with the session, as opposed to just, we're going to do spike ball and then we're doing, you know, whatever afterwards.
Yeah, the bit in the middle we've done a bunch of times as a bit of fun and a bit of a physical activation, bit of competition where it's some kind of relay race and, you know, there's a bit of thinking involved and a bit with your hands, but, you know, really it's just a little bit of competition where you're getting moving. And then we added the goals at each end, so it would turn into, like you say, a progression bit where that's where they're getting their kind of activation into exactly what we're going to go to next, which was a 1v1 session, rather than just doing the bit of fun and then going into something else and then going into something else. So we might have been a bit short of time today, so you get a little bit of both in. Or just across the board, you just add different ways of adding different goalkeeping elements into different warm-up activities. The bit in the middle with the cones and the poles, we've done in some capacity a dozen times throughout the season, and this was just another variation of it.
Yeah. Seth, any thoughts?
No, I think it's great. Again, it's finding different ways to get the activation in. And if you're stepping into a 1v1 from here, like you need to find ways, number one, to keep all the goalkeepers like moving and doing something. And then two, like it's a progression. You know, it's not just like you said, chaos, you know, spike ball to chaos.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, one of the things too, you know, Louis, is that a lot of times, especially with a younger coach who's maybe not as experienced, you know, they'll have a whole session design, they have a whole session plan, and they get there and, oh, field three is actually taken, so we've got this 12-yard area. And by the way, coach is going to need them in 15 minutes, not 45 minutes. So, and they, a lot of times they panic and they try to rush their session as opposed to finding a way to maximize their time.
Yeah. And I think the more you can design activities where there's multiple topics to it, it helps with that. Right. So then you're covering more than just one thing. I think modern way of coaching goalkeepers is there's probably always an element of in possession in with defending of the goal or defending of the space, which helps with that stuff.
Yeah. Now I'm looking here. You're using different size balls when it comes to these activation exercises right here. Do you think that's really important when you're doing these type of exercises? And is it for the cognitive reason or is it the physical reason? Like why do you do it?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. One, it mixes it up for them. So again, our season feels like it goes on forever, but training 4 or 5 days a week for 10 months or whatever it is, 9 months, you've got to have different ways to mix it up. So we played this game before with the size fives. We started it with the tennis balls. There's definitely an element of how your brain reacts differently to the little one and go into the big one, and then how your eyes have to watch the ball onto your hand more. And I think across the board of your development, that helps.
Yeah. I see the competition flowing through everybody. They're throwing their hands up in the air when they score a point and everything.
This game here as well. It's shuttlecock. I forget the name of the company, but it's you know, like badminton. It's like that. So that was way better than the tennis ball for the hand eye coordination and really watching it. That was a fun game. I think we did that every day that week because it was, yeah, I liked it.
This game is awesome too. This whole sprinting game right here. I'm not gonna lie. All of these just look like fun. Like I want to go out there right now and just do these games myself.
This one, I think I might have posted this on Twitter. I saw this from somebody else as a field player game where they were running to the ball and they had to get the ball. And then I forget what they did afterwards, dribble and turn or something. And I thought you can change that and make it more goalkeeper version and turn it into not just a little bit of competition in a warm up and a bit of a physical activation, but you can then turn it into how you're defending the goal in some capacity as well. So I put the little white lines in, so they had to drop in and defend. They couldn't just get it.
They
couldn't
just
straight
be
away.
Big. Yeah.
And then there was points involved. I think like if you saved it, you got a point. If you scored, you got 2 points. If you got the ball first, you got a point. Different things like that.
You know, and I think you know. Go ahead, Susk.
No, I just love it because I love that you have the line there to incorporate that negative movement. But at the same time, you have to pay attention to what the person with the ball is doing, because if they, you know, they get behind the white line, they stop. You have to change your body position, make sure your body weight's forward, and make the save. And their quick reaction saves here. It's just like what you can get on the ball to keep it out of the goal.
Yeah, I love the drop.
That was funny.
No, I love the dropping for depth after a loss to possession. I mean, it just really realistic.
Well, because if you didn't give that rule, like, let's be honest, if you didn't give that rule, you just post the person up and just be big. Yeah.
That's very true. That's very true. But I think, you know, one of the fun things about all these, Louis, like, is about for young coaches out there, is just be creative and don't be afraid for something to not work. Right. Like you might try some go, you know what, that's not that not doing that one again. It's just not working, you know, or find ways to adjust it on the fly. Because not all of these are going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, going back to the youth game, it allows you to do that. You've probably got a bit more grace with the youth players than you do with the pros. So if you put one of these together and it's not that great or it doesn't work, you're going to hear about it from the whereas in the youth game, you know, they'll be patient with it. And again, they don't know what they don't know. And even if you plan something and it doesn't work, as long as you've planned it, the kids will get something out of it. Even if it's the tiniest little bit of detail, they'll still get something out of it. And you know, as a coach, yeah, that didn't work. When you're reviewing it, that didn't work. I would have to change this or change that, or yeah, just scrap it completely. And that's coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, by the way, when you're saying you have a little bit more grace, I don't know if you've met youth parents before or not sure how much grace you have, which is why we have the Union Goalkeeper Parent Community, guys. Learn how to parent goalkeepers. Learn how to be able to handle yourself properly in an environment, in a goalkeeping environment. That's a weird plug, but also just a public service announcement to anybody out there. All right. So now, you know, as we start wrapping up, and Louis, I appreciate you taking this time, man, because, you know, obviously, you know, you got the little ones and, you know, you're still doing some off-season training. Let's talk a little bit about things that people can do. A lot of, you know, college players are in their off-season right now. A lot of club players are going into their off-season on the winter break. What are some good little exercises that they can do on their own with a server during the break to kind of keep sharp before they come back?
I think this period of time is where you can really dive into your IDP. Again, I think I mentioned Serge's episode with you guys earlier, where he had one of his goalkeepers on talking about their IDP and certain things that they wanted to focus on throughout the course of the season. It's difficult to get a real consistent base on that at certain times of the year at the pro level and at the college level. But this time when you're off is you know through your plans what one or two key areas are that you want to focus on, and just diving into that as much as possible, whwhether it is something like your 1v1 spreading or blocking technique. You can break it down. You can make it really robotic. You can make it really announced so your body and your brain starts really understanding those movements and you get that consistency in, knowing that when you go back into the season, you're going to have all of the live pictures when you're back in with the team. So it just gives you that time to hone in and announce on the fine little technical details. And I think for youth players that might be off right now, one, it would be like have a bit of a break. But then how can you do things at home where you're still incorporating little things like hand-eye coordinations. Mm-hmm. Obviously, during COVID, there was loads of that, whether it was just catching a tennis ball against the wall and doing it with one hand to the other. We had a lot of kids getting like ping pong balls thrown at them, and then they were dropping it in one bucket to the next, you know, the red bucket, the blue bucket, activating their brains that way. Just so you get a little bit of time off the grass, which you need to mentally refresh, but you're still refining different areas that you're going to need when you get back to it.
Yeah, no, I love what you just said. Suska, anything you want to add to that?
No, it's like, I think 100%, this is the time when you take those one or two things that you don't get the time as a pro or as a college player to focus on during season. Because, you know, when you're in season, like, yes, you'll have time to kind of, but not pinpoint it as much as you can in these months that you're off. Like, you can take, whether it's 1v1, whether it's certain, and not just 1v1 grand, but let's break it down a little bit and really look at your IDP and say, where within my 1v1s am I deficient? What am I struggling with? Where in my crosses am I deficient? Like, it's not just crosses as a blanket, but it might be certain situations. And now's the time that you can really pick that apart.
Yeah. You know, and I think,
and
you know,
stay fit.
No, but I also like one thing that Louis said there in regards about a little bit of a break. I think, especially for parents out there who are listening, you know, or watching, is that you have to recognize how much volume. What was the volume that your goalkeeper went through this year? You know, did they play every single game? Did they go to trainings three times a week plus individual private goalkeeper training? Like, what was the volume? Because everyone's going to be different. Maybe some goalkeepers need a little bit more work, and maybe some other goalkeepers, it's like from a physical standpoint, from a body standpoint, their bodies need the break too.
And their mind might need the break too.
Yeah.
Let's go there. Like, you know, their mind might need the break. That's a really good point.
Well, speaking of the mind, you know, I think everyone's minds are starting to start focusing towards the holidays. But as we do that, guys, I just want to announce a couple of different things right here. Obviously, we're going to be at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy in Richmond, Virginia, in a couple of weeks, December 15th to the 17th. We're going to be doing live shows and some demos of the Union app for those of you guys who are not familiar with it yet. So shout out to Amanda and everybody at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy for having us out there to do that. We'll also be at the United Soccer Coaches Convention doing live shows during the NWSL draft time, which is going to be taking place out there in Anaheim, California. And there's going to be some really awesome sessions. Jill Lloyden from TKI, she'll be doing some sessions there. And I'm sure some other people that Louie knows are going to be doing some sessions there. I'm sure Louie's going to be there at the Anaheim Convention. Not going to put him on the spot right there. It's only an hour drive, you know, but we'll see. What the situation is. He might need a break too. And that's going to be great. And if you guys want to go to that, we actually have a special discount code that you can only get if you're a Union app member. So you can get that discount code on the Union app. Just DM us on the Union app and we will send that to you. So you got to be a member. And speaking of all that, as we start getting all this stuff done, Louie has been very, very busy this entire time. I know some people have been reaching out asking, hey, I'd love to do some sessions with Louie online. You know, really, really love everything that he's been putting up on his socials and really feel like I could learn from him. Louie is going to be a pro mentor. We're very, very excited about that. And, you know, we're going to slowly start rolling that out as his children age so that he gets some sleep. But Louie, why was it important for you to get involved in a situation like this as a pro mentor and helping out young goalkeepers, parents, and young coaches?
From a coach's perspective, I think what you guys do with the podcast and now with the app, it's something that I would have loved to have had access to when I was first getting into coaching. I think the more you can, when you're not involved in the top level of youth, or you're not involved in college or pro, having the curtain kind of pull back a little bit and seeing what people are doing that have got a little bit more experience is invaluable, as well as taking licenses. And the problem with this country is there isn't an abundance of goalkeeper licenses available. So what you guys provide is another version of that education. And to be a part of that is pretty cool, and help out as much as I can. And if there's any little bit of advice that I can give from the experience that I've gained over the last 20 years or so, and it helps somebody, then yeah, I'd love to be able to do that.
You know, I mean, Saskia, I believe you had a young coach reach out to you, who's a parent of a goalkeeper as well, too, and wanted to, you know, kind of, you know, and they're just beginning their type of journey. So it's like, it doesn't matter what level you're at. We're all here to engage with each other, interact with each other, and grow from each other. You know, don't just think, oh, I'm not a college coach, or my son isn't, or daughter isn't playing, you know, ECNL or, you know, MLS.
Actually,
it wasn't
a coach. It was a parent.
Oh, it was a parent. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But still incredibly involved. And we had a great, great conversation and everything, but yes, anybody, like, we're here for that, to answer questions, yeah. You know, bounce them off. So.
Yeah. You know, and then obviously, you know, we'll talk to Louie and figure out his schedule and see how he can get involved. And we'll have a chat about that. But just to kind of, you know, teach you guys how the process works, if you're not familiar with it, essentially we got in the app, we've got the whole portal where you got all your different pro mentors. You can choose who you want to work with. As you move on, you can see who's available. Louie is available right now. We're using that time to have him on the podcast. So that's that was already taken. Sorry, guys. You're gonna have to meet with him at another time. You click on Louie, you see if he's available. It looks like he's available at the time. You press book now, and the process begins. So really, really, honestly, humbled and honored that somebody, you know, who's coaching, you know, at the level that you are, Louie, you know, wants to be involved in a program like this, and we're very, very, very excited. And I know, you know, as the off season kind of, you know, continues, you're going to be getting active. So if people want to reach out to you on the app, what I believe it's at Louie Hunt. Is that what it is? Your your socials?
It's at Louis Hunt 1717. I believe it's the same on the app as well.
Okay. At Louis Hunt 17, as opposed to at Louis Hunt 16, guys. So don't reach out to Louis Hunt 16. That's going to be a young goalkeeper who's 9 years old playing in Iowa. So probably a different person. Obviously, if you want to reach out to Saskia, it's at Saskia on the app, at Goalkeeper Podcast, if you have a topic suggestion or a guest suggestion, or you can go contact at InsideThe18Media.com. Saskia, anything you want to share before we wrap up?
No, I'm good. I love this. Okay. I'm gonna go call LB and River a little bit.
She'll be out surfing. What is it? Midday.
I know she will. I know, but I love it. You know, and that's, you know, like we said, that's, I used to float on a board when we were in Florida. I couldn't call it surfing, but you kind of get out there on your time off and do other things that clear your mind and, you know, engage you as well. And I love that she'd be out surfing.
By the way, elephant in the room right here. I thought this was a virtual background that Louis had. This is his actual space. That's not a virtual background. That's actually real behind you, right?
Yeah. This was originally my workspace, an office space in the garage that has very quickly turned into the dumping ground where baby stuff goes,
I know how that is.
Yeah, I won't turn it around and embarrass myself and show you what it really looks like.
But that's where you watch all the Villa matches, is down there.
Yes, that's where I used to hide to watch them, but now they're very good, so I don't have to hide anymore.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Definitely don't have that problem with the wave. All right, guys, that's all the time on Inside.
Great seeing you, Louis.
You too. And
we are out. Later, guys.
Te presentamos a la familia Rubio. Ellos hacen todo en familia.
Rompecabezas, viajes a Walmart.
Ejercicios, cocinamos.
Todo.
Y cuando supieron que la farmacia de Walmart tiene vacunas para todas las edades, desde HPV hasta neumonía,
pues nos fuimos en familia a vacunarnos.
Y de una vez hicimos nuestras compras.
Like, obvio, Abu.
Protege a tu familia con vacunas para todos. Haz una cita hoy con los farmacéuticos expertos de Walmart Pharmacy. Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart. Sujetas a disponibilidad y ley estatal aplicable. Se aplican restricciones según la edad. Pregúntale a tu farmacéutico por detalles.